You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is, I Can't Take It Anymore. Okay, so this is kind of where this is coming from. People ask me every once in a while, where do you come up with your messages? Most of them come from you. And I'm not saying they don't come from people outside of this room, but I am a shepherd and you're the sheep. I'm one of the sheep. And so my primary focus is this room. So if something comes out of this room and it helps other people, good for them. But these are the sheep that I tend and tend to listen to. And so when you spend time with your sheep and you start hearing certain things, then no doctor writes a prescription for something that the patient doesn't have, right? So I'm not saying that everybody's feeling this way, but a lot of people in here and then beyond really are feeling this way. Most of us, when we interact with other people, do the best that we can to hold it together, right? So we see someone, how are you doing? Fine. Unless they're just about to collapse. But we kind of have social skills and how's your family? Good. Then you get into this thing of God is good, and if they really know what they're doing all the time, God is good, blah, 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 blah. But you can be dying inside, and the thought is either I don't think they really care, or if I really answer the question, they're going to wish they hadn't asked it, or it's just going to take too long, so I'm fine. But just this room alone, there's trouble in this room. There are people in this room who have not spoken to their kids, or kids who are estranged from their parents. And you say, well, that's tough. No. When you get down to family, there's almost nothing more catastrophic. You'd rather have your family together and have health issues than not have your family together. I sit with veterans along the way, some active duty, some former veterans, and there's a reason why they're killing themselves at a clip every day, every day, every day, because they just can't take it anymore. You say, well, what is it they can't take? Well, if you sit down and listen, they may or may not share, but some of it they can't share. I have soldiers come sit down with me, and they've killed too many people, and it was in war. It was not random, but they still can't get that out of their head. And so they drink, maybe drug, do whatever they can do, and then one day they just, boom, they're gone, because they can't take it anymore. And then I sit with people whose kids are trying to commit suicide or cutting or anorexic, bulimic, drugs, alcohol. They've been told you can be whatever you want to be, and they know they don't realize that's not true, and then they get confused. Now they're like, "What? Why did they lie to me?" Or they've been told there is no sin. We don't say it this way, but you can just do whatever whatever you want to do. There's no consequence. Just do what you want to do. Whatever you're feeling, do that. And then they go do that, and they're like, "I'm losing my mind. There's consequence to these choices." Marriages. I've shared before that Rebecca and I have had troubles along the way in the past, not recently. I'm trying to find a way to get another 30-something years with the woman. But some of you are in the room and listening somewhere, and you're not okay. You may be sitting together, but you're not okay. And a wife with little kids, a husband with responsibility, and what you thought was, oh, I'm going to get married and, marriage is the answer. That's where the intimacy is. So I'm sure it'll be, at least 3-4 times a week. We're going to be together and, we haven't been together in 6 months. Well, who are you going to tell that to? Well, he's being mean to me and she's being mean to me and don't touch me. And then you show up at church. How y'all doing? Oh, fine. Because if you don't show up at church, they really know you're not fine. And so we dance and we play the game. But inside, if I said, raise your hand if you can't take it anymore, you'd be amazed how many people are on the verge. I got to get out of this marriage. Usually it's men walk out the front door. Somebody told me this yesterday. A man they knew told his wife, I'm going to get cigarettes, and he never came back. Never came back. I don't want to be married anymore. I don't want these kids. I don't want the responsibility. I'll go to California, flip burgers and chase skirt, and I'm out. So what do you do? And then you're a Christian. So now Christians aren't supposed to have problems. So let me kind of lay this out here. Being a Christian does not mean you don't have problems. In fact, sometimes I think being a Christian almost makes you have more problems. Because the soldiers don't usually shoot at prisoners of war. They shoot at people who are fighting against them. So if you say, we're going to march on the gates of hell and they won't prevail against us, they're like, oh, okay, we can play that game. And so you buckle up and say, here we go. And they start shooting back and they don't miss. So let me read you some verses. Psalm 55:22. Now, please do me a favor, you a favor, everybody a favor. Don't just listen to these verses. Don't say, oh, I know that by heart, or I've read that before. This is not about what you know in your head. This is why people memorize things and they say, I know this by heart. Things that you know by head don't usually change your life. It's the stuff that you know by heart. Where inside you say, I know this to be true. I have applied this in my life and I know this is true. So Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burden on the Lord. And this word cast implies a total release or throwing off. You say, here, throw it toward him. You cast your burden on the Lord, on him, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Now, I'm about to say stuff that I don't understand, and I'm trying to get there too. Somehow, God created the universe, and up to now, 2 trillion galaxies. You can't get your head around that. And we don't know what's beyond that. We know there's heaven. So if he can create a temporary universe that will be destroyed and remade, then what's heaven? If this is just something he whipped up for us to live in, then what's beyond here? And that God, when you become a Christian, takes up residence in your physical body. So what is not possible? How much power does it take to create a universe? How much power does it take to hold it together? Who is this God? And why would he, how is he able to, much less, why would he move in my physical body knowing what's going on in my head and in my heart half the time? So how do we not wake up in the morning and go, oh, thank you, Lord, for reminding me. I got you in me. And when there are verses that say, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, there's nothing that can come against me without your permission. There's nothing bigger than you. I'm going to be more than okay. But what happens to us? We start focusing on our problems. We start focusing on the challenge, the circumstance. We forget him. We forget he's not just with us, he's in us. And then we take the load on ourselves. And then you get crushed by it. So the psalmist here saying this is not just saying this. He's got you. You say, well, it doesn't feel that way. Whether you feel something or not does not make it not true. Isaiah 41:10. Again, the way this is written, you'll see that this is in the Old Testament, obviously Isaiah. But here he says, fear not, for I am with you. In the Old Testament, God was with people. New Testament, when you're a Christian, he's in you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And a right hand was a symbol of strength. And you throw righteous right hand. If he's got you, he's got you. And I've told stories about my dad. Not all of them are great, but some of them are tremendous. My dad was 6'9". I keep throwing numbers out like 270 or something. He was a big man. And that could be scary. But when he was on my side and I'm with him, I was never afraid of anything but him. Nobody's dad back in my day was bigger than my dad. And if my dad grabbed me by the arm, even if I didn't grab him back, I was not going to get away. So you say, well, you're slipping, you're falling, you're not going to make it. And someone reaches down that has strength and power and grabs you by the arm. And you say, but I don't have you. He said, it doesn't matter. I have you. I don't have the strength to hold on back. It's okay. I gotcha. So you do these verses. He says, fear not. You say, okay, why am I not going to be afraid? Because it's me. I got you. What is there to fear if I'm with you, in you? I got you. Don't be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Like at some point, we have to start focusing on who he is and what he can do, not who we're not and what we can't do. Go to Matthew chapter 11. So in Matthew chapter 11, we're going to go down to verse 28. And this will be familiar to some of you, and some of you have never heard this in your life. So here we go. This is Jesus, and this is what he says. Come to me. Before we read any of this, the Bible does not instruct us to go to Jesus. Jesus says, come to me. That's personal. That's him. Now, why would you go to Jesus? Here's the context. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And this word labor refers to exhaustion of working hard, both physically and emotionally. And heavy laden speaks to being overwhelmed by the weight of responsibilities, troubles, or life's difficulties. So he says, if that's you, come to me. You say, well, duh. Well, if it's so duh, why don't we come to him? We go try to fix it, solve it our own ways, get our own answers, finagle our way out. And he's like, dude, I see where you are. Come to me. I'm your answer. And what does he promise? I will give you rest. And then he interjects this. Let me grab this. I brought one of these today. So does anybody know what this is? So this thing looks like a whooping to me. So it's heavy. And here's what he says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So he's not saying there's no yoke. He's not saying there's no pull in, there's no work to do. But he's like, your yoke is killing you. You don't know what you're doing. Take my yoke. Now, let's assume somehow I could get in this thing, right? And I'm pulling. And then Jesus says, hey, forget that. Take my yoke. And not just take my yoke, but I'm going to be on the other side with you. Okay? So here I am pulling by myself, trying to figure it out. And then he says, dude, the dude's implied always, come to me, your labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. It doesn't mean you don't do work. It just means when you get done his way, you have rest. Now, how is that possible? Because you do it his way. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. If you know anything about oxen, yoke of oxen, you would put an inexperienced ox in the yoke with an experienced ox. And the experienced ox knew the pace, how to pull where it was easier work than hard work. And as that ox pulls, the younger ox is next to him, and he learns, the bigger ox, the older ox is shouldering the weight of it, but the other ox learns, oh, okay, this is how you pull, this is the pace. This is how you do it almost effortlessly than the way that he would have done it without that instruction. So we grab our load and go, well, here I go. I'm going to do it my way. Jesus says, dude, what are you doing? Come to me. All you what? Labor, heavy laden. I'm offering you rest. I get you got a burden. I'm offering you rest with the load. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. He's not harsh. He's not whooping us. He's not there to be mean. He's saying, look, I'll show you how to do this. More than that, I'm going to pull it with you. I'm going to pull most of it for you. You're going to have load, but most of it's going to be on me. And when we get done my way, you'll go, how could I have done all that? And I feel rest for my soul. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So you got contrasting yokes. You can pull yours by yourself or do what he says, come to him and get in with him. And then you kind of start feeling bad because you go, I don't feel like I'm pulling at all. And he's like, yeah, because I'm showing you how to do it and I'm shouldering most of the weight. You came to me. Now, what does the devil tell you to do? Don't go to Jesus. Go back. You just need a little relief. You just need a little something, something. Your wife's not taking care of you. Find somebody who will. Find some way to take care of yourself. Yeah, but that's going to create problems. You already got a problem. Your life sucks. Your relationship sucks. You deserve a break today. Don't go to Jesus. Come to me, the devil says. And he's got stuff. It just doesn't last, and it destroys. Steal, kill, destroy. Other people, you know, I think people wonder, like, what do you say this stuff for? We got people in this room, if they go down, if they say, I can't take anymore, they're going to go smoke meth. That's what they're going to do. Now, you say, well, I don't go to a church like that. Whatever, dude. What do you do? Well, I don't smoke meth. Great. Good for you. You're still a scumbag just like us. You're just doing something more secretive. We all got issues. And the enemy comes after us and says, dude, I get it. You can't take it anymore. I can take care of you. Or you say, you know what? You've never taken care of me. You ruined my life. I have addiction issues, alcohol, drugs, whatever it is, power, money, greed. You destroyed my life. And I finally got a little semblance of a life now with Jesus. I'm going to go to him this time. That's where I'm going. I'm going to Jesus. And you say, but you don't get that instant gratification. Yeah, but you end up with things like joy and peace and rest for your soul, not more anxiety and more crap to deal with. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. And if you need words to describe what you're going through, man, these are some boom, kaboom words. We are hard pressed on every side, just push, pressure. Yet we're not crushed. We are perplexed. We don't know what's going on, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. You go, well, God, I'm being persecuted, but I know you haven't left me. Struck down, but not destroyed. Literally, you feel like you've been knocked down, but you haven't been wiped out. You haven't been destroyed. So you say, I can't take it anymore. You're like, yes, you can. And you're not the first person to feel this way if you feel this way. Philippians chapter 4. Some of you know where I'm going and know it by heart, but listen to it anyway. Here he says, be anxious for nothing. Now, in the Greek, the word nothing, anybody want to guess what that means? Nothing. You're correct. That means nothing. So what would nothing apply to? Everything. You can't be making exceptions. Oh, don't be anxious about this, but I got something. This is worthy of anxiety. I'm going to be anxious. He's like, dude, I told you not to be anxious about anything. Well, how am I supposed to not be anxious? Keep reading. In everything by prayer and supplication. So what's the difference in prayer and supplication? Prayer includes all examples of connecting with God. It might be worship, thanksgiving, praise, general petitions, but supplications more intense, focused, involving specific requests with a sense of urgency and earnestness. So that's not, you know, God bless the missionaries in Africa. That's a prayer. If you move to a list, be with the Thompson family, be with Koke and Nancy Cote. We pray protection for them, provision for them in Liberia today, right now. Bless their children, protect their children. You start going down the list. Now that's a supplication. You're saying, okay, God, here's the big picture, but now I'm honing in and we're getting specific and we're going down the line. So I can't guarantee this happens every day, and I used to be horrible at this. This is a terrible thing to say out loud. I used to cannot pray with my own wife. Gosh, it sucks to tell you that. The devil is such a snake. As it turns out, praying with your husband or wife may be more intimate than intimacy. And so for men, the devil is a stinking liar. He'll keep you from that connection. Man, if you don't pray with your wife, I promise you, you got a ton of problems that can be avoided. So usually before I leave the house, I'll grab her in my arms and start by thanking God for her and blessing her. Then we go through all of our children, whoever he leads us to pray for. You say, well, what difference does that make? Big difference. So every once in a while in here, I'll say, okay, if you're married, stand up and, you know, kiss your spouse. Man, they'd rather pull a gun and shoot each other because they may not have kissed in weeks or months. Won't even hold hands, which turns out to be, I think, one of the most intimate things human beings can ever do is hold hands. So let's get on this just a second. So you say, well, I'm married, but I can't take it anymore. She's got no time for me. He's got no time for me. He's mean, he's angry, he's an a-hole, he's whatever you come up with. I can't take it anymore. I have the right to be happy. Why don't you throw your marriage into Jesus' arms? Why don't you take a stab at this instead of stabbing each other and just hold hands something, look at each other and say, look, we got to try this. And you men start. And start with taking responsibility for your own you-know-what. And then begin to ask God to heal you and heal your marriage and grant forgiveness where it needs to be granted and apologize where you need to apologize to him and each other. You'd be amazed what God can do with a broken down old house if you let him restore it. You can go from hating someone and wanting them dead to your heart breaking and being merciful and kind as he is.
Okay, so if you're watching, listening somewhere else, this may not make much sense. But if what I just described happened to you somewhere in the past, and you're here because those decisions were made and God healed your marriage, just stand up together. If you're together, if you're by yourself, just stand up by yourself. Now, and if you're sitting down, it doesn't mean it didn't happen to you or it couldn't happen to you. I know almost every one of these people that stood up. They are not standing without Jesus. And you won't make it either unless you go to him and trust him and let him put you personally back together and then your marriage back together. But this is evidence. You say, oh, you're just talking about hypotheticals. These people are not hypothetical. They are a testimony. Okay, thank you all. Yeah. So read this with me, Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, or one translation says, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So it's not just that you have peace, you have a peace that posts up. Now think about this. You have no peace, then you do it God's way. And somehow these soldiers, as it were, of peace come take positions and say, we are here to guard, to keep this person's mind according to the scripture through Christ Jesus. And so the enemy comes and tries to attack your mind. And the peace patrol says, no, not today, Satan. Now, how does that happen? You got to go back. You say, okay, don't be anxious. Okay, I'm not going to be anxious. What am I going to do? Prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. I'm going to thank him as though it already had happened. Let your requests be made known to God. Okay, God, here's my stuff. So when you do it this way, here's how it goes down. You go to God, you present your requests, and before you leave, you say, thank you, Lord. He's done nothing. Why are you thanking him? Because when you give it to him, when you leave, you thank him because it's already as good as done. And so you don't leave anxious, you leave going, oh, he's got it. Where are we going to lunch? And peace loads up and it keeps you through Jesus. And every time you think, oh my gosh, I'm gonna be worried about that, you go, oh, why would I do that? I left that in the throne room in his lap. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not gonna live my whole life all spun up.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I wanna share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
1 Peter 5:7. And this is pretty simple, but it kind of goes back to one I read in the Old Testament. This is all it says. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And I don't know how I missed this. I didn't know that. I know that now. I still got stuff every once in a while. I get a little wrapped around the axle, and then you're like, what are we doing? Why am I worrying about this? He's God. I'm his kid. I'm his servant. You got it, right, Lord? I got you. Okay, I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm going to have some peace. Now you say, well, did your problems go away? It's not that they go away. It's just I'm not shouldering them anymore. Right? It's not my yoke. It's his yoke. I'm just climbing in with him and going on for the ride. I mean, maybe you've never had this happen to you, but I've done a bicycle built for two before with the person on the back not pedaling. They're just along for the ride. Dude, there's a chain here. You got pedals. And it's almost like Jesus said, I tell you what, ride with me. Well, Lord, I can't make that hill. I know. Get on the back. And you're doing your little pedaling thing, you ain't doing nothing. He's carrying the load. He's the one pedaling. He's the one shouldering. He's got you. He's got it. And we know that all things work together for the good of those that love God, you know, called according to his purpose. He's got a purpose and a plan. Just trust him. You say, well, I can't take it anymore. Well, don't take it anymore. Take it to him. take it to Jesus and see what he does with it.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.